engine running? Well, today I'm Lisa Davis, and we're going to be talking about that. But before I get to that, I wanted to thank Ida Zelaya for filling in for me last week. She and Carol Kranowitz were awesome, and I encourage everyone to go to itsyourhealthradio.org to check it out. Well, as you know, May has been Sensory Processing Awareness Month here on It's Your Health, and we are concluding the month with two amazing women, Sherry Schellenberger and Mary Sue Williams, the creators of the ALERT program. Sherry and Mary Sue are award-winning occupational therapists, international lecturers, and authors of several books to support self-regulation. They've written three books, created two CDs with songs, you've just heard part of one of them, and three games. One of their books is translated into German, and they are frequently asked to teach the ALERT program worldwide, so folks in the UK, Finland, Singapore, Australia, the Netherlands, are using the ALERT program to support self-regulation. One of Sherry and Mary Sue's goals is to help children wake up with a smile on their face, wanting to go to school and enjoy the learning process. They have focused on developing practical ways to teach people of all ages how to incorporate sensory integration theory into everyday living. Gals, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lisa. What a great welcome. This is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
And Mary Sue. Good morning.
Good morning.
So excited to join you here from Albuquerque. We heard your other shows this month with Sensory Processing with Carol Kranowitz and Lucy Jane Miller and Ida Zelaya and Lori Frankenhill. And boy, did they do a great job explaining to you about sensory processing disorders. And we're hoping that today, with our time together, that we can fill your listeners in on self-regulation challenges that some of us face with all of those kinds of activities of daily living, we call them in the occupational therapy world, things we like to do the way we want to do them. And when we're not in a good place to do them, what do we do about it?
Exactly. And sometimes your engine runs high. Woo! I tell you, I've been singing that all weekend. Even my husband, I heard him in the kitchen whistling. He's like, oh my goodness. You guys said it, that they're catchy. They really are.
And it's well, we made them be catchy. And actually, Mary Sue likes to tell the story that when we were recording them in the recording studio, the rule in the office was you cannot sing out loud because everybody will have that song in their head all day. Practice somewhere privately.
That's right. Well, the great thing about today's show is we're going to learn all about the engines and running high and running low and getting them to run just right. Okay, so what is self-regulation?
Well, self-regulation is a great thing because we're all involved in self-regulation, and very simply, it's just the ability to change how alert we feel. That we all have moments. For instance, while it's 9:30 your time back there, it's 7:30 here. So how do I get myself up and get ready to do a radio show at 7:30, mm-hmm. which is a different thing in my routine than when I normally maybe go to work?
Okay.
And so that's what self-regulation is. It's our ability to change how alert we feel. And as adults, you know, we're all involved in self-regulation. It's not just for kids with special needs. Some of us just do it very automatically, and we often haven't had any vocabulary to talk about it. And what Mary Sue noticed with a lot of the students that she worked with is that they needed a vocabulary of how to talk about it. So that's where the engine analogy happened. Is Mary Sue talked to one of her little gals, and it just came to me one day. I was working with her and thinking, you know, she doesn't have any way to talk about this inner experience of how alert she feels and how she changes how alert she feels. So I just said, you know, your body's like a car engine. Sometimes it runs on high, sometimes it runs on low, and sometimes it runs just right. And then what I did was I started telling her about my engine, because even as adults we have engines, and how alert we feel changes throughout the day. So I started telling her about if my engine went up into high, and if I felt hyper or wild or out of control, and if my engine went into low and I felt lethargic or droopy or kind of like a couch potato, mm-hmm. and when my engine was running just right. And then I would help her to figure out those things for herself and what she could do at school, what she could do at home, and just seemed to, kind of to our surprise, became a very simple analogy that worked for a lot of children. And whether they care about engines or not isn't really the point. The
yeah.
point is to know that if we are able to change how alert we feel, we can do so much better in life. We can learn at school more easily. We can play at home. We can interact with our friends. We can go to a store when we maybe don't feel like going to a store exactly. All those things get supported, and life hopefully gets a lot easier and a lot more automatic.
I see. Now, it seems that kids with sensory processing disorder, from my understanding, have trouble with self-regulation. And they often, especially my daughter, for example, who has Asperger's, she tends to always be, her injury tension's always high, and it's really hard to get it just right. Oy vey, let me tell you.
But I know, and there's a lot of parents out there thinking the same thing.
Oh, my gosh. And my engine also, I tend to run high, too, because I get stressed, you know. So I'm like, okay, what can I do? I'm going to do some deep breathing and stuff like that. So that's where this comes in with the OT and with the SPD, is teaching kids how to, you know, if they are running high, like you said, to help them calm down, or if they're the opposite end with kids who are under-responsive. Is that...
Yeah, when kids are, right, when children are low, and maybe our listeners can even just take a moment to think about what they're doing right now, that self-regulation and talking about engines isn't some theory way out there. It really is something we do all day long, every day. And so for some of our listeners right now, well, we teach children that there are five ways to change how alert they feel. You can put something in your mouth. You can move, touch, look, or listen. And so if our listeners start just to pay attention to their own engine and what they're doing right now in the mouth category, maybe some of you are drinking coffee or tea or maybe
eating breakfast,
crunchy or chewy foods that help them to get alert in the morning and get ready for their day. In the move category, some of you might be walking around while you're listening to the radio show and getting breakfast, or others might be sitting in a rocking chair, or we do things in the move category to help us to listen. In the touch category, might be playing with your jewelry, might be playing with your cuticle, might be playing with your hair, might be doing something with a fidget toy in your hand, maybe playing with a pen or a pencil. And then in the look and listen category, just by trying to listen to the radio, we're already in that listen category. And maybe some of you are checking your emails if you're in your computer and doing something in the look category. So we all do these things, and with children then we just help them to figure out what works for them, what they can do at school to follow the rules, but still what they can do to be able to help their engine. And then we teach teachers and parents how they can support children with that too.
Now, one of the things we actually like to say too about that is that very often, because children's nervous systems are less mature, is they tend to do things bigger, longer, stronger, louder, and harder than we do. And then we worry about that and think, oh, they're misbehaving. And what we have to do is step back and analyze, are they misbehaving, or are they trying to get themselves set up to do what we're asking them to do? And so that's always that constant balancing act that we have as parents, as professionals, as teachers, you know, anyone involved in that child's life.
Well, that's what I thought was really interesting about your book, you know, How Does Your Engine Run? When it was talking about, you know, that there's this misconception that if a child isn't sitting still, then they're not paying attention. Whereas for some children, they need to be fidgeting or moving their legs. I worked with a guy who he would sit in meetings and his legs would, like, move back and forth the whole time. And people would be like, what is he doing? And, that's how he pays attention. You know, his body needs to do that. So I think getting the word out is so important. And obviously you've had to work with teachers who probably don't really understand it at first, because they're so used to being trained that kids need to sit and just listen.
Right. I think it's really kind of an old wives' tale, unfortunately, that, that attention looks like sitting still and looking at the person. And we all know that we can sit very still and look at someone and tune them out and not have any idea of what they've said. So we're having to reframe that. We're having to actually get down to the science of it, which is, how does the brain and nervous system and all of that good physiology work together to help to support attention? And then we have kiddos who have challenges with those things that are kind of helping us as adults to draw out and look more at that. What can we do to help this child be able to do school? And do we care if they're actually sitting in their chair, if they're actually working, you know? And that's the point. We have to kind of go to another level with it, really.
Yeah, and sometimes kids will sit on those large balls, right, that they can sort of to get, you know, that input. And that's the thing I wanted to ask about, too, is that what is, you know, heavy work and the proprioceptive input, and how does that help to you? I think it can, I read it can calm a child, but then I've also read that it can also make them more alert. So what do you do depending on what the child is dealing with?
Exactly, and that's one of the reasons that Mary Sue developed originally, and then I kind of came in to horn in on the work with the ALERT program, is that the great thing that we know therapeutically anyway is that the heavy work
we'll call that the pushing, the pulling, the tugging, the towing, those kinds of things. So movement things involving big muscles of the body is what we're going to define in this moment as heavy work. And what we know is that in the brain and nervous system, it's so interesting that heavy work helps whether your engine's high or whether your engine's low. Oh. And so this is a beautiful thing, and it's why in the ALERT program we picked mainly heavy work to focus on, because we knew that parents and teachers and folks that aren't nearly as interested in getting excited in their careers about learning about sensory processing as some of us crazy therapy type folks are, could go, oh, okay, I know, we can do heavy work things now, and that will help to support the child. So that's how we got to the heavy work piece. There are certainly many other wonderful therapeutic ways that we can help to change children with their self-regulation. But if you're not into that and you're just on the car ride or needing to load up to go to the errand or in the classroom, we talk about a teacher comes in from recess and the kids come in from recess, her engine's low, coming back after lunch, the kids' engines are high. What can we possibly do that's going to help in that group scenario? And that's the reason we picked heavy work to focus on in the ALERT program.
So we say, when in doubt, do heavy work. So that teacher, when she comes in after lunch, recess, and her engine might be low after digesting her food, and the kids come in from high, is that we might have them all do chair push-ups, where the kids sit in their chairs and they push up with their arms, or maybe they push on the wall, or maybe if one child's engine tends to be much higher than all the other kids in the classroom, the teacher might say, Johnny, would you be my helper? And I have this box of books, and I was hoping you can take them down to the office for me. That gives that child a purpose. It's a job. It's important. Can you help me? And they take the box of books down to the office and then come back. That gives that child a break, gives that child the movement they need, the heavy work, and helps them to come back and more likely be in a just right place to be able to focus and learn.
Now, if the teacher feels on the lower end, could she chew some gum or eat some celery or something, or crackers or something? How does that work?
Exactly. We say heavy work can be heavy work in the mouth.
Okay.
So remember, we have five ways: mouth, move, touch, look, and listen.
Okay.
Heavy work in the mouth could be gum. That would be heavy work to the jaw. So the teacher could be chewing gum, although we know many, many classrooms
that's not allowed. I don't know where I came up with celery.
It's a common one.
And some teachers, after they learn this information, do understand the importance of having something in the mouth. But if we're not allowed to have gum, maybe we'll have a straw that children, or a coffee stirrer that they could chew on. Heavy work to the whole body. The teacher might join in with the kids if they push along the wall or do that. And in the touch category, we can have heavy work in our hands. We could have silly putty or something that has a lot of resistance, a relaxable ball in their hand. Or we can do heavy work with the whole body.
Okay, well, I know one of my friends, she would hide like coins and stuff in the silly putty.
Uh-huh.
So we really had to work at it and focus, and or she would hide things in sand or different things like that for her son who had some sensory processing issues.
Yeah, and that can really work, and it really is individual. If we could find one thing and we could say gum for everybody, we could probably change all the rules in all the schools for gum. And
yeah, really.
And there's so many complications with gum. It can stick to the floor
and
stick
the desk.
To the chair.
Oh, yeah.
But if there was one thing for everybody, but it's much more individual than that. So we really try to encourage parents and teachers and other adults in the children's life to become detectives, to be able to figure those things out, to have the skills to understand how can we observe children, what works for them, what gets in the way of their functioning, what supports them to be able to function at their highest level. And the ALERT program and the analogy of the engine seems to have been a pretty simple way of bringing that point home without a lot of jargon, a lot of big theories. We're just saying what works, what helps this child to get their engine to a just right place.
Okay, you know what else I liked about the book was it talked about the role of adults, that they really need to model for the children, especially younger children, and who might have difficult, or if there's some nonverbal issues or developmental delays, talking about, saying, well, my engine's running high, and this is what I'm going to do, and so they can, again, model a behavior for the children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that was the thing that I felt like Mary Sue hit on, in terms of we talk about that with emotions, and yet we give no real, we just expect that the child understands, well, this is our inside voice, and this is how we behave in our restaurant versus how we behave on the playground versus how we behave at a football game. And we do need to be very direct and help children to understand how do we do that and why do we do that and how do you get your body in a different place. You know that there are very different rules. You know, I often tease if aliens came down and observed us watching fans at a professional football game, they would think very different things of our culture than if they saw us sitting in a classroom, perhaps, or in another venue. And the thing about being just right is it's really different for different things, you know. We want to really emphasize that. It's not that the goal is never that we're going to get in just right and stay there all day. The goal is to be just right for the thing you want to do in that moment.
Okay.
You know, and so just right for taking your spelling test, for instance, is very, very different than being in just right to go out to recess and hang on the monkey bars and talk to your friends and run around and all those kinds of things. So it's just it's really a context thing of what we're doing and when we're doing it. So that's the main thing to get across to children. And I think it's really important to give them vocabulary, because what we find anyway is when we give the vocabulary to children, they have all kinds of information about what they do to change their engine levels if we give them the vocabulary to tell us.
Oh, okay. And what kind of things have they told you?
It's so interesting. You know, one little boy one time was sitting at a campfire. We were at a camp for children with sensory processing kinds of challenges, and it was getting closer to bedtime, so that's often a really challenging time for lots of families.
Oh, yeah.
The whole bedtime routine thing, right? And so here are kids who are sleeping away, many of them for the first time,
wow.
So it's a kind of a scary, challenging thing, and then maybe it's not a thing that's easy for them, and he just looked at me and said, you know, my engine runs higher than anyone else here, anyone else. Like, no one has an engine like that. And I said, well, you know, everybody has trouble getting to sleep sometimes, and there's lots of things that we do to help ourselves get ready to go to sleep. And people tend to lean toward calming things, and what we've learned as therapists is because of the way that the nervous system works, sometimes we need calming, but actually sometimes we need a lot of intense, heavy work. And so it was explaining to this young man, you know, here are the things that we can do. So not so much like a tickle fighter and not the light touch kind of things, but there are many kids for whom deep touch and wrestling kind of things, that heavy, heavy work, can be very calming to their system and actually help them to go to sleep. You know how we have this myth of don't rile the kids up before bedtime. There are some kids who actually need in their nervous system to have a lot of input before bedtime so that they can sleep better. And that's really different than many of us, but that can be true for lots of kiddos. We had one little girl who Mary Sue worked with that her dad used to wrestle with her, literally, just heavy work, pushing against each other and all this great stuff right before her bedtime routine. He went out of town on a business trip, and the mom came in and was like, I can't get her to sleep, it's awful, da da da. And they're straining their brains trying to figure out what's different in her routine, and here it was just dad being gone and having that thing. Now, there's the beautiful emotional stuff of having that special time with dad, and then there's the part of this is setting up this nervous system to be able to actually calm down and go to sleep.
So the mom started doing rough and tumble play right before bed and helped her to get back into her sleep routine, and they were both very thankful.
And that's when we want the kids to have the language, because then when we forget as the adults and have one of our duh moments, you know, the kids can go, but I missed this, or I missed this thing that helps me to get my body ready, that kind of thing.
Now, I also know kids who will wear like a vest or carry around a backpack or before bed. Is that mm-hmm. common as well, using the vest like maybe throughout the day if someone really runs higher? Obviously, you probably have to take it off if you want them to run lower. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you use?
Absolutely. I think the interesting thing is, as adults anyway, I call it like our sensory motor preferences. We use really different things. You know, we get in phases where we want to do something that our special coffee cup that feels so wonderful to us that we drink out of each morning, and then if we don't have it, we're like, oh no, you know. And so we have our own things that we get used to and bring us comfort in those ways in our routines, and so do children. And sometimes those things change, but very often we need to have spurts of trying different things. And so for lots of kids, wearing a weighted vest, for instance, can just sometimes just think of how tight and tense we get, not even the brain and nervous system part, but just how tight and tense we get, and then the shoulders come down and the breath gets better and suddenly the body's able to relax and that kind of thing. So that's not the only thing about weighted vests, but one of the things we know is that, again, that's helping with that heavy work to the muscles and joints that kind of tells the body, it's okay, chill out, relax, it's no big deal. And it just allows the body, especially the nervous system, to be in a much better place.
I see. Now, when you first teach this to different OTs, do you work with them? You must have. I know you have an upcoming workshop in Marlboro. Is that correct? October, 16th and 17th, I believe?
Yeah.
Is that for parents, too, or teachers, mm-hmm. or everybody?
Yeah, our workshops, we designed our two-day workshop to be very parent-friendly because very often, again, as Mary Sue said, if it was just as easy as doing one thing and everybody's good to go for the rest of life, that'd be great. But what happens is we go through different ages and stages, and I know you as a parent and many other parents out there probably notice that there are certain times in life where things get more challenging than others. Transitions in school, times where we enter puberty, you know, and our hormones change, and all those kinds of things contribute to how interesting life can be in these bodies. But in the two-day workshop, we design it to be very parent-friendly because what we'll do in the whole first morning is teach as though we were teaching folks that did not know about self-regulation. So while we have many experienced therapists that come there, for me anyway, it's always good to hear how somebody would explain it to other people. We can all use lots of different ways to explain this kind of complicated information to people at different levels, not because they can't comprehend it, but because they may just not really care about it quite as much as we do. And so that's how we do the two-day workshop. We start it that way, teach in that way, and then we go ahead and go into the content for the other day and a half in terms of, not that the first part is in content, but that gets everybody on the same page. We have the same vocabulary. We try to take a lot of the jargon out of it and just make it, this is how we want to talk to people, because other people don't care about our big words, you know. They care about what's going on. How am I going to help my kid right now, you know?
Exactly.
That's more of the deal. So, yeah, it's a very parent-friendly workshop, and it's designed. We've had really good feedback from our parents and our experienced therapists that that's a good way to start our time together. And then we do a lot of experiential learning during the 2 days. I like to teach people that, and tease them about, look how much it takes you to keep yourselves together for these 2 days. What the heck, you know?
That is true. Yeah, I mean, being a student, you know, going to college or grad school or whatever, just there's times where your engines run low.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And you got to do something to get it back up. And there's other times where you're just like, woo, you know, it's hard to get it back down. So.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And it's just such an important skill to learn.
Yeah, so this is obviously good for adults and children and everybody. And you were saying that it's not just for children with special needs, that any child is going to benefit from this, because there's kids who just, you know, their engines just all run every different way. So,
and yeah, we had the chance just last Friday to be in a second grade classroom with a teacher who has read our little introductory booklet and another book and CD. She read that. And then we got to go in and just introduce the information to the kids, talk with them, and I even like to start and say, just raise your hand if you've ever had trouble paying attention in your whole life, you know? And it's just like, okay, now here we are, and what do we do about it? We talked a little about engines, played some of the games, and it's just so amazing to us, and then came back and sang some songs to finish up and summarize about the information. It's so amazing how kids really understand about their bodies. And
those were typically developing children, but there were several children in there who were on the autism spectrum and fully included in the classroom. And we really have found that children who are typically developing or have learning problems, adults, all of us together, really, it's our belief that we all need to understand our engines and what we can do. And, you know, we use the engine analogy, but just a quick note here is that children who are developmentally too young or children, it's too abstract of a concept to talk about engines. I had one little boy look at me so serious, like, look at me, I don't have an engine. What are you talking about?
There's that literal. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That sounds like my daughter should be like,
what are you talking about?
You think I'm a train? What, Mommy, come on.
Really,
get with it, you know?
Exactly. So if the child has a very particular area of interest, that they love dinosaurs, they're always talking about dinosaurs, or they love some some other topic, we can use that. Or for a child who really won't be able to be independent in self-regulation, they will need our support for those children, those in preschool or those, some children on the autism spectrum definitely grab right onto the information and they can be independent with self-regulation. Others are going to need our help. And so an example is if we have maybe a preschooler, oftentimes a teacher and a parent have those spiral notebooks that go back and forth to school. So if the child's not talking about their engine and they're not participating, it may be the adults who use the engine analogy. So the parent in the morning might write, gosh, our engine's really high, woke up, you know, so sorry, good luck. And the notebook goes to school. And then the teacher at the end of the day might write, you're right, she came in, our engine was really high this morning, we did some things that worked well, she was in just right most of the day. At the end of the day, there was a fire alarm, her engine's in high, good luck. So that they would be using the engine analogy, even though the child may not be doing that. So we can have kids included who may not be independent in self-regulation and will need our guidance, but who can have the engine analogy work with the adults.
See. Now, I only have a few more minutes, unfortunately, but I wanted to say I love the songs. My favorite was The Five Ways. And I love the best work. That guitar solo was rocking.
Oh, that was great.
And so if you want to tell us about the other things that you have the How Does Your Engine Run? A Leader's Guide to the ALERT Program for Self-Regulation, and then you got the test drive.
Yeah, the Leader's Guide book is kind of, if you want to take a child through the whole program and help them to learn about their self-regulation, then you would probably be interested in the Leader's Guide book.
Okay.
And the test drive book is more simple songs and things that really anyone can use to introduce the idea and start to kind of get that there's categories of ways that we change engines and why we would change our engines and how we can go about changing our engines, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the Take Five book is just a book full of activities that have heavy work in them you can use in home or school, but you may not. The emphasis of the Take Five book is here are the activities you might want to do in school and at home, and you don't have to be talking the whole engine thing at that moment. You just know these activities have heavy work.
Nice.
And then we have three games also. ALERT Bingo, ALERT Go Fish, and Keeping on Track board game that help to reinforce the concepts. And we also have ALERT Program CD, one more CD that has songs for kids that can help them. They're all coded, so you can put certain songs on in the classroom or home that will help calm children or help alert them, and some that do both and have heavy work parts to them.
You gals are so terrific, and the information is so important. And if you can give us your information so I can, and it's going to be up on my site also at itsyourhealthradio.org, and also how people can sign up for your workshop in October.
Well, great. Like you said, we're going to be there October 16th and 17th. We always love a good excuse to come to Massachusetts.
Right.
You can go to our website at www.alertprogram.com, and it'll have a section on the menu for conferences, and they can certainly take a peek there. There's a section for the products, the books and CDs that we just mentioned, and then of course we do have a section called resources, and that's got some nice freebie kind of things on it, so parents who have some limited resources but still want some information, there's a free handout that you're able to print out that's called What's This All This Talk About Engines. And there's also my youngest sister and I have made these free broadcasts called Slug Sisters, and those are posted on the website. The first one is posted there. We'll be putting another one up pretty shortly. And those are just kind of funny little stories that help to teach about self-regulation. And instead of doing a newsletter and another thing to read, I don't know about you, but my stack of to read is very high. And so we said, no, let's not do a newsletter. Let's do something fun that just could take a couple minutes to listen.
Well, talk about fun. You gals are a blast. And I want to thank you so much for joining us. It was a perfect way to conclude our month on sensory processing disorder. And you can go to itsyourhealthradio.org to hear all the shows on sensory processing disorder and on other topics. And as everyone knows, summer is upon us, and June is devoted to fitness and nutrition. And kicking off the month will be registered dietitian Jill Fleming to talk about her book, Thin People Don't Clean Their Plates, Simple Lifestyle Choices for Permanent Weight Loss. I know, I'm thinking, well, anyway. It's a really great book, and it just has some really common sense things like eat breakfast, don't skip breakfast, and snack throughout the day, don't wait till you're ravenous. And it's got some really common sense things that are really smart, and she's a really great gal. And for more information on upcoming shows or to listen to past shows, you can, or to email me if you have any ideas. It's yourhealthradio.org. Gals, thanks again.
Thanks for having us.
All right, have a great week and keep being healthy. Bye-bye. Everybody sing. I'm going to sing along too. All right, come on, David. Let's go. Here we go. Bum, bum. Sometimes my engine runs high.
Woo!
Sometimes my engine runs low.
Sometimes my engine runs just right.
Sometimes my engine runs high.
Woo!
Sometimes my engine runs low.
Sometimes my engine runs just right.
I love it.
Wasn't that great?
Sometimes my engine runs high.
Well, come on, let's finish it off.
Okay.
Let's go. Come on.
Sometimes my engine runs low.
Well, there's another longer version, too.
Oh, there
so
is.
Another, yeah.
We only have 10 seconds.
Right. Oh, shucks.
Let's go.
Right. All right, out.